Listening to the music of Django Reinhardt, a very famous, especially guitarist. He's the guitarist, and he's got a great violinist, and basically it's a group together. We're joined by Elizabeth Pappas. She's the executive director of the Arts Center of Burlington. Good morning, Elizabeth.
Good morning, Steve.
We also have her husband, Daniel Pappas. He is the coordinator of the music department for Southeastern Community College. He's also the leader of the Daniel Pappas Trio. And I've seen you, obviously, I think three times over the course of the time, performing at the Nightcap Listening Lounge for the 100 Like Minds events. But you do a lot of performing elsewhere and a lot of things. Actually, I know, did you come from North Carolina? Is that correct,
Daniel? That's correct, yeah. We came from Fayetteville, North Carolina.
And again, and you've still got, and I know you bring the North Carolinian or North Carolinians or whatever back here to do some performing. But
they'll be back in November. Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah,
I'm announcing that right now. They will be back in November.
The Daniel Pappas Trio, who's included in that?
Well, for the concert that we're talking about on Friday, it's actually a more expanded group. We have Ed Mansheim on guitar. He's going to be the main guy. So if you want to hear great guitar playing, come hear Ed. I'll be playing violin.
Okay.
I'll do my best to live up to that instrument. We have Sophie Toe on bass. She's a Burlington High School student. She's graduating this year, so we're going to lose her. We're very sad about that. Mm-hmm. Haley Ramatowski, we play with her a lot. She's our pianist, and her brother Ben is going to be on drums. We'll have Eric Pettit on rhythm guitar.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Wow.
Eric Pettit Lyon. And then we'll have a bunch of special guests, which I won't announce, so you have to come and find out who that's going to be.
We are talking about, it's a daytime exhibition. It is a live concert. It's all going on. This is on Friday, the 24th
day of April, a week from today.
So it's going on the 24th. And again, the whole concept of Intarte Nocte, this was a proclamation created at the heart of the Nazi regime by Joseph Goebbels, the Minister of Propaganda, Ministry of Propaganda, and the document, it's a recording the confiscation of more than 16,000 works of art, which the Nazis deemed degenerate.
Correct.
And what was the reason? I guess we'll go to, why did they call it degenerate? Why was it considered degenerate?
Going back a little bit, so early 1900s, Europe was the epicenter of the greatest modern art. The greatest modern art then and what we still consider the greatest today. And it was also when you started to see a lot of different forms of abstraction hit the scene. So you had cubism, Dadaism, Surrealism, all these incredible genres of art. And then skip forward a little bit, post-World War I, these artists suddenly turned their artwork into reflecting the realities of war. Coming out of World War I, and you look at artwork from Otto Dix, and he's depicting soldiers coming back to war and being deformed and real raw harshness of post-World War I. And so their artwork really reflected that. But under Nazi cultural policy, that was deemed too abstract, too foreign. It wasn't depicting perfect German traditional art in Hitler's eyes. And just a note, too, Hitler was a failed artist. He tried to he applied to the Academy of Art in Vienna twice and was rejected twice. So obviously there was something very personal. And so, yes, these artists were then were shamed and humiliated and denounced, and it wasn't enough to just humiliate them. The Nazis then went on a campaign, and they popped up all of these what they called shame exhibitions all over Europe to humiliate these artists. Many of them lost their jobs. Many of them were told that they weren't even allowed to buy art supplies or make art anymore. I mean, it was really, really controlled. And this all culminated in what we now know is the most famous version of these exhibitions, the Antarctica Kunst exhibition that happened in Munich in 1937. But yes, over 16,000 artworks were confiscated by the Nazis from collectors and museums and artists themselves. And yes, this exhibition then became the most well-attended, most popular exhibition of the time in Europe. And right across the street, Hitler opened the Great House of German Art right across the street from this one in Munich. And to show the stark contrast of what he considered perfect art that was acceptable for Germans and then what was forbidden art.
So again, it was all a matter of what you described or what was determined to be. And
right.
And so the determination was based on, well, Daniel, what was the determination based on? Was it based on the fact that this was art that simply was not, displayed things that weren't considered pure? Is that sort of the idea?
Yeah, that's certainly part of it. I think it was an expression of artistic freedom. This is an example of extreme censorship. And artists, you know, they're always the ones that try to depict the world the way it really is. And there was no room for any kind of critical eye on what was going on at the time. And so, you know, shutting them down is always easier than trying to engage. And so that's what they did.
Well, gypsy jazz was what Django Reinhardt was about. And gypsies were, I'm going to guess, any gypsy art would have been considered not pure. Is that
yeah,
right?
I mean, certainly. Interestingly enough, the gypsies were always deemed degenerate. And they even had a symbol that they made gypsies wear, like the Star of David, before they ever had Jews put a Star of David on. So for whatever reason, gypsies were considered more degenerate. And yet, any music they were going to make was obviously also degenerate, and they just happened to be really engaged in jazz and being influenced by jazz, which also is degenerate music because jazz is foreign music. Hitler had, there's a famous poster that they made for the Degenerate Music Show. They also had one of those exhibits, and it has a essentially exaggerated blackface saxophone player with a badge with a Star of David. So they just connected all the things they didn't like into one image.
You know, there's always been a curiosity and a wondering, why did the German people allow this transition, allow all of these restrictions, all of these absurdities, all of this wrong going on? And no one, was it just getting along, you know, going along to get along? Was that what it was?
Well, I think that's a really difficult question. We've been doing a lot of research on that particular question, and it's really hard to say. You know, when it comes to the gypsies, actually, what was astounding in our research is how much of the other occupied countries were complicit. So we have letters of the treatment of gypsies, and it's not really the Germans that are doing the bidding. There's a great letter about a mass just extermination of a bunch of gypsy encampments, and it was done by the Hungarian police, not even at the prompting of the Germans. I think what we discovered is what's frightening is when you give people a carte blanche to just do what they want to do without consequences, that's the kind of stuff that happened. And if there's anything to take away from all of this show is let's be aware there is a historical precedence for what happens when we allow people to freely discriminate and freely hate
other people.
It ends disastrously.
So
the exhibition during the day will be open to the public, and we will have like what he was saying, some letters from some gypsies, some stories will be told throughout the exhibition. We will have images and video footage of this famous Entartete Kunst exhibition that was in Munich. And we'll have, you'll see stark comparisons between, you know, what was considered acceptable and what was considered not acceptable. And hopefully it asks us all to think. Yes,
I'm looking
you
at
have
the,
an image. Yeah.
I've looked at all the background. This is Entartete Kunst. Yeah.
You can see the difference. You know, they wanted to depict, you know, perfect German traditional farm life, and then any form of abstraction that, you know, that was colorful or using abstraction to depict what these artists were feeling at the time was considered, you know, these artists were called mad. They were called crazy. We have a bunch of speeches that will be on in the show as well, where you can read exactly the sentiments that they had towards these artists. There's letters to these artists being told, you know, you are forbidden from creating artwork.
And is there a significance of the date, this date that is coming up on the, I mean, the fact that you're doing it on the 24th?
Well, the reason that we're doing it in April is our Vice Night series, which you're aware of. So we do these one-day exhibitions four times a year, and we always do one the last weekend of April. So that's what this was. And also, our Vice, like with our Vice Night shows, this is a chance for us to get very experimental with our space. So we are being very, very thoughtful about how we curate this show and how people experience it. So it's meant to feel somewhat unsettling, but then we will open it up that night to a free and open to the public concert at 8 p.m. Where you'll be surrounded in context. You'll be surrounded by the exhibition and then there to hear this great music. And I'll let Daniel speak more, but you'll learn about the life and legacy of Django Reinhardt, the music and the world he was living in and the weird contradictions that were going on as well with him as a jazz musician and a gypsy.
So Django Reinhardt was obviously very a well-known, very famous performer. So how did he, was he able to continue to perform in Germany or did that?
Well, he was in Paris, and once the Germans occupied Paris, Paris became the de facto holiday for soldiers coming from the front. And so they would go to Paris, and yes, he was the most famous European jazz musician, and they loved his music. Problem was, jazz is forbidden, and he's a gypsy, so they just turned a blind eye to it. In fact, he tried to escape to Switzerland a couple times because they wanted him to tour Germany and perform at the Olympic Stadium in Munich, which he obviously did not want to do. Because, you know, once you step foot in Germany, yeah, who knows what's going to happen to you. And he was caught at the border, and typically they would have executed any gypsy trying to flee the country. But the officer that caught him knew who he was and was a huge fan, so he let him go back to Paris to keep playing. So he survived the war and actually flourished. He made the most money during that period. It's this bizarre situation that he found himself in.
It's being in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
And can we talk about the musicians a little bit? So our Django is Ed Mansheim.
Yeah.
And all these musicians, they have been rehearsing for months. This isn't just something, they're not sight reading this music. They didn't just start working on this last week. They have been rehearsing hard. They've been so dedicated. We're so appreciative of all the work that they've been sent. And it's not easy music. So you're in for an exceptional night of just fantastic music. And of course, Daniel will do what he always does and weave in the historical context and the person behind the music and which makes it very, very special. Also on exhibit, we've partnered with SEC art department. So the students have actually been working on their own protest art, current protest art. So that will be in our mini gallery. And this is all about, you know, art matters. If anyone ever questions whether or not art matters, here is a perfect example of how it is always relevant and it is always important. It was important enough to the Nazis to squash it down. And so this is about how we need to protect artistic freedom. We need to protect voices and different perspectives, and whether you like it or not, like, it's important to preserve that. So, like all things that we do at the Art Center, this hopefully is something that makes you think and you walk away really, really wondering about life and people and humanity and why art is such a significant part of being human. But also, this is also a lead into the Burlington Public Library.
Right.
This incredible Holocaust exhibition is coming, what is it, August 19th throughout September. And we're so fortunate to have that. And so this is just kind of a way that we can dialogue about this.
The only library in Iowa to be selected,
right.
Yes.
So we will have a lot of marketing for that so that people are well aware of that coming right around the corner. And also a huge thanks to the Community Foundation of Des Moines County. They're so supportive of so many organizations. Definitely we feel the love at the Art Center, and this whole project is made possible through their support. So
fantastic. All right. It's going on. Daytime exhibition 10 to 4, free and open to the public. You'll have the live concert again, 8 o'clock. Again, that is also free and open to the public. And a chance to, as I said, to learn, to think, and to listen. All
yes.
of those things.
And we will have a cash bar and also some really fun French
finger
theme.
Food.
Finger food that night. So, because you're turning it into the
Hot Club to Burlington.
Yes, which you'll learn more about that night. But
all right.
Yes, mark your calendars. Please come see it. The exhibition's free and open to the public throughout the day, and I'm probably going to keep it up throughout the week, the following week. So
all right.
Sure to see
well,
it.
thanks for stopping by and also letting me learn. I've got a chance to learn a lot of things over the last couple of days. And it is sehr gut. It is again, Daniel and Elizabeth Pappas. Thank you very much again, and have
thank
a great
you.
Show.